Alrighty, good morning. It is Friday and we are well into September. You know what? This morning, the sun was up before the show. Always a good sign. Means we're heading into summer. I mean, there's no doubt about that now, right? I hope you had a good week. I see a comment here being made by Bitcoin Boyd. Having the Friday show without the Monday and the Wednesdays put a hole in my daily news schedule. Well, I think we got too much news. I think there's so much going on in the world and it's overwhelming. And actually, we probably all need a bit of a news detox. And what a week it's been. Very big news for feminists and for cuck men all over South Africa. Apparently, I know Flex and James are very excited about this. Apparently, guys, you can now take your wife's surname. So I know you've been waiting for that. That's why you've been holding off on marriage. But here it is finally for all those guys who have extremely tight vaginas. Great news for you that you can now, you can be progressive AF and get your wife or girlfriend's surname. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, I knew that was the biggest news of the week and you needed to hear it. Okay, so there are actually things going on in the world. Apparently Russia, Vladimir Putin behaving very badly at the moment. Rockets going into Ukraine at a rate unsurpassed so far in this war. Lots of noise about that. Lots of noise from Europe. Britain is going through all kinds of very, very ugly gymnastics to try and extricate itself from what has essentially become like an elite project at the top of British political society. This elite project is something no one in Britain wants, but they've been forced to just accept it. They've been forced to abandon all the things that they thought Britain was about, the ordinary people in Britain, because their political leaders have decided it's a great idea to just open the floodgates to anyone from any shithole country that wants to go there, and they're bearing the cost. France's government collapsed. I don't know if you saw that this week. It's not just Emmanuel Macron's marriage that's on the rocks, but also his government. I say his marriage is on the rocks because everyone on earth remembers seeing Brigitte Macron smack him when they were getting off that plane. Well, the French people have decided to return the favor, and Emmanuel Macron is not having a great September. So, Nepal. Have you seen what's happened in Nepal? The government there have been run out of town. Now, for anybody who is sick of our own government and thinks that it is time that all these extremely coddled, protected, self-aggrandizing, self-enriching politicians that we've got in South Africa had their comeuppance, there is so much material for you in Nepal. They ran the finance minister out of his office, stripped him naked, and paraded him down the street in, I think it was a sundress, spanking him with whips and bamboo canes. And then they threw him in a river. And I mean, this is like medieval levels. It's like Bell of Shame levels of retribution. And this is Gen Z, hey? So again, I got to say, I'm hopeful about Gen Z. I still am holding a candle for them. These guys might just be the generation that returns us to sanity. I'm holding thumbs. It certainly wasn't the millennials. It certainly doesn't seem to be the Gen Xs. Maybe it's the Gen Zs. Maybe it's the one that comes after that. The group we spoke about last week when it came to careers, Gen Alpha. And then the other big news of the week is this political assassination of Charlie Kirk, which seems to have really caught a lot of people off guard. Obviously, any political assassination is disgusting and uncalled for. You should never have to deal with your adversaries, your enemies, your political rivals with violence. But those words sound like they could have come from any generic politician, right? And they have come from generic politicians, people like Gavin Newsom, who had Charlie Kirk on his first podcast in America. I just love how like podcasts are now the place and the thing. You know, when we started doing podcasts, it's now almost 11 years ago. People would say to me, what's a podcast? And now the most famous people online are podcasters. And I think that's entirely by design, because it's one of the few places we can have conversations like this. If you're wondering why I'm doing a bit of a monologue this morning, Leanne had to go and do something, and she had to cancel at the last minute. And that's what podcasts are. They're unscripted and unrehearsed, and we get to talk about the stuff that is going on in the world. We get to talk about the things that affect you and me. We get to talk about the things we care about, and we don't have anyone telling us, you've only got 10 minutes to do this. Commercial breaks, news, sport, traffic, weather, you know, interruptions like I used to have to make you suffer when I was still on radio. Charlie Kirk kind of started as a podcaster, radio guy, but I think it's probably appropriate to give a little bit of background, because I've been astonished. And if I've learned anything from the ugliness of this Charlie Kirk assassination, it is how many young people in South Africa, and by young I mean people younger than me, you know, anyone who's under my age is young to me, anyone who's 1 year older than me is old. I have seen an extraordinary outpouring of real anger. Thank you, James. I've seen a real outpouring of anger. I've seen a tremendous number of people who I had no idea even knew who Charlie Kirk was. Now, you might be an American political pundit of a kind. You might find American politics as fascinating as I do. I try to steer moderately away from it because I don't think it's everybody's cup of tea, you know. I don't think it's something that everybody cares about as much as I do. But evidently, this guy struck a chord with so many people all over the world. And anyone who's confused by this, let me help you. Because there may be people in the South African media who can't believe that they've been in the media business for 20 years or more, and they have 400 people who read their column online, or 100 people who listen to their shitty podcast, or no one's interested in following them on social media, and yet Charlie Kirk had millions of people all over the world, perhaps even hundreds of millions of people all over the world following him and his university, college campus debates, the fact that this guy would go out and speak to anybody, that he was polite, civilized. We'll get to him in a second. But I'm astonished, I really am, by the number of people in South Africa who've been posting about this, because it's clearly affected them. It may be a majority of males. I don't think that would be a bad guess, but the numbers, I really am astonished. There are people who have followed me who I haven't really been paying attention to. I see posting this stuff, people who I didn't even know had political opinions. So clearly, what someone like Charlie Kirk, and there are a few people like him in the world, are able to do is make that connection. And it's evident to me that he made a much bigger connection all over, not just in America, than very many people are comfortable with. It's also striking that there are not so many in my feed. I, as you know, I don't follow people just because they follow me. I also don't. I don't see any posts or replies from people who I don't follow on X, for example, on Instagram. I barely see any negativity, but there are certainly places. Apparently, Blue Sky, which is the American leftist social media platform now, since, you know, they don't like Elon and they wanted to get off of X, they've gone to Blue Sky. Apparently, it's just full of truly demonic, deranged ghouls and goblins who are reveling in the death of a father of two and seemingly the most decent and polite person. Now, you may not have agreed with Charlie, and I hate that this even needs saying, but clearly people are stupid, so I'm going to say it. If someone disagrees with you, often that is an opportunity for one or both of you to learn something. If someone is smart and they are able to use words to demolish a shit argument, then you can learn from that if you're not the winner of that argument. And if you can teach them something and make a truly smart person like Charlie think twice about things, then that improves everybody, surely. The line that Voltaire, the great French philosopher and literary genius, wrote was that, "I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to my death your right to say it." And when you actually see someone being shot, it's harrowing. I mean, there's no way you ever get over it. And I know that there are people who want to equivocate and say, well, every shooting is bad. It's particularly bad in this case. This guy was not running for office. He was not a politician, right? He may have been involved in politics. He may have started a movement that got young people in America interested in particularly conservative politics. He may have been a massive voice for conservative values, for the Second Amendment, for the rights of unborn children, for Christianity, for American values, for the family. If those things offend you, cool, let's have a discussion about it. That was always his attitude, and he would take all comers. It is horrifying to me that it needs to be said that the answer is not violence, that there are people who actually have been so suffused by the kind of permission structure that has been created by the sorts of people who say things like words are violence, that this needs saying is outrageous in some ways. But the other thing I've noticed is that people want to see truly good people in the media, in politics, in society, hitting up families. And it appears, I never knew Charlie Kirk. We were in communication, I think, on email about 3 years ago. And we were trying to set him up for a show, and it just didn't happen for various logistical reasons. But he seems to have been a really decent guy, you know, a guy with good manners, a guy who loved his family, who was deeply religious, who had a moral compass, and who didn't have any ugliness in his background or in his character. And people will say, well, he said incendiary things. But that is not a stain on anyone's character. There are so many people who are criticizing Charlie, perhaps reveling in his death right now, who themselves are just morally deficient people. They may not see it. They may think they're very good people. And you know, so many people do when they're online, because you can hide behind anonymity. You can claim a history that you weren't participating in. You can give yourself credit for stuff you didn't do. But this seems like a good guy. You know, if anything, the only clips I ever saw of him, which may be interpreted by emotionally unintelligent people as incendiary or adversarial, are the clips where he wins an argument and it makes the other person feel bad. But I'm afraid that's what adults do. And if you want to be an adult in the fast-moving world of political debate, of news and information, of media, of sharing your opinion, of being an influencer, if that's all you want, then you've got to take the punches and you've got to develop a bit of a thick skin. That you have to give up your life is maybe a step too far. But as someone who, I don't know how I could live without sharing my opinion, and I have a feeling that that's probably how someone like Charlie would have felt too. Again, it's not for me to get emotional. I don't get emotional about people I don't know when they die. If I've met them, perhaps I'd feel a little more, I'd feel like I needed to shed a tear or or genuinely display some of my own feelings. I don't have any of those, but I will say that free speech matters to me. It has always mattered to me. I think it is the most valuable weapon in our arsenal against lies, deceit, being duped by people who have power, being able to stand up for ourselves, being able to do good in the world. Truth only thrives in an environment where people are able to articulate in words what they think in their heads, in quiet moments and lonely places. And I don't have anything to say for those people who are genuinely happy that something like this assassination happened, because I block people like that now from my life. It used to be part of the fun was kind of taking them on and telling them why they're awful. But I just don't believe it's worth filling my day or yours, and you should do the same. Take the opportunity of something like this to just block and delete those people from your life. If they are genuinely ghoulish and find it empowering and exciting to enjoy someone else's death, then get away from them. We don't have to listen to everybody. There is enough stuff on the internet for you to pay attention to that is good, that will add information, entertainment, inspiration, empowerment to your life. And those people display in these kinds of moments how utterly deficient they are. I would rather have one articulate, brilliant, principled person like Charlie Kirk in the world than 2 million people who would revel in his death. The kind of people who, you know, before the internet, you would have driven past and sprayed mud on while they were muttering to themselves on the side of the road. These are not people worth paying attention to, so just don't do it. I don't want to see any more videos of the actual shooting. I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but I genuinely scrolled really fast past the visuals that were taken. There were so many people with cameras, right? I hope they catch the killer. I don't know anything about this person. We can only guess at their motives, the kind of person who would want to kill someone like Charlie Kirk. By the way, Ramon Cabanac said this in a clip that he put out yesterday. A conservative, but a moderate conservative. I mean, this guy was, dare I say it, milquetoast, right? He wasn't aggressively on the right. And people have called him far right, which I think now, if Charlie Kirk is far right, then call me far right. It's a compliment, right? It must be a good thing. If people are calling someone like him far right, it's no longer an insult. I see a lot of comments that I want to get to here. I wanted to block them too, says Kevin. But doesn't that make you just like them? They want to silence anyone who disagrees with them. Isn't it better to engage? So Kevin, I'll help you with that because it's something that I've really wrestled with. There are people who are so convinced of their moral superiority. There are people who are so convinced that they're the good guys in every story that you cannot have an argument with those people in good faith. They don't believe in good faith. They think if you don't agree with them that you're evil. They are exactly the kind of people who, if they were, dare I say, brave enough or stupid enough, the kind of people who would pick up a gun and do what was done on September the 10th. So block them, because you've got to remember, like, you are not responsible for everybody. You can't be, right? Anton Taylor, who's going to be on our show, I think next week, James said, he put out a clip which I thought was very, very interesting. I'm going to play you a little bit of it because it may help you to make these decisions. Just, you can't be everywhere. You can't deal with everything. You've got to choose what you care about. Just like I choose what I care about for the show, and hopefully you care about some of it too. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here together on a Friday morning, right? And Anton said something similar. He said, we need to get rid of the feelings that we must accommodate everybody. Remember, if you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody. And essentially, he's sick of people who police other people's posts online. Take a look at this. See if you agree.
Charlie Kirk got assassinated yesterday, and a lot of people who I hold in high regard have been really upset about it and have posted condolences and rest in peace and so on. And it's made me realize that you know who the most annoying people in the world are the people who go, why are you posting about Charlie Kirk, but you're not posting about other causes? Why are you not posting about the other deaths? Because you don't have to. Let's be honest. Maybe because you don't care. And that's okay, guys. A human has a certain limited capacity for grief. And we have a certain limited capacity for expressing condolences. Every single day, approximately 150,000 people die. Every single day, you're allowed to pick and choose. In fact, you have to pick and choose. You can't post 150,000 thoughts and prayers every single day. So you have to be selective. And it means you have to leave out some really bad things that happen, and injustices, and, you know, people who didn't deserve to die, and all sorts of terrible things. If you don't care about Charlie Kirk, just don't post about him. I'm South African. I never really followed him. It seems that politically, me and him are not really on the same page. And I'm more tied to what happens in South Africa. So I get more upset about what's happening to our women and children, and about gang violence and people killed in crossfires in the Cape Flats, which is very close to where I live. But even then, I can't post about every single person who's getting killed in South Africa every day in unjust ways. And so, yeah, I've never felt particularly connected to Charlie Kirk. So I'm not going to post a condolence video about him. But fuck, guys, if somebody wants to post about him, please, just let them.
Yeah, it seems so obvious, right? I don't expect everyone to be an expert in this, because the internet has made everybody content creators, and the internet has made everybody broadcasters, and the internet has made everybody influencers, even if it's too four or five people. And some people are just wholly unprepared for that responsibility. Of course, they've been in insurance their whole life, and now suddenly they're expected to post reaction videos to major political events. Of course they're going to be fucking terrible. It's just not everybody's strength. And you don't have to be. And I agree with Anton. Like, you follow who you want to follow, you pay attention to the people you want to pay attention to. Jesus, that was a bad noise, right? I just want to show you an example of why someone like Charlie Kirk, who was on campuses talking to his adversaries, having debates and conversations, is so important. Why that kind of guy is the wrong guy to eliminate. Because what's going to come next is not going to be as moderate or tolerant. What's going to come next is going to be a whole lot uglier. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I don't wish for that. But you reap what you sow. And whoever did this, I don't think entirely understood what they were going to unleash. And you can see it. People are furious. I see lots of people in America. I saw a woman yesterday who is, she's furious. She's like, I've always been a liberal and a Democrat, and seeing what I've just seen now has made me furious. I will never, ever support them again. There was a lady who drives a school bus who was talking about the Gen Z kids that she was taking to school yesterday in America. And I don't know if she posts school bus driver videos every day. Again, everyone's a content creator, right? But she said these kids are genuinely upset by this. They knew they were intelligent kids who knew a lot about the kinds of things that Charlie Kirk spoke about. And they're pissed off, she said. There's a bus driver in America listening to the kids' conversations on the way to school. She said that was all they were talking about. So whatever's happened here, it's not all going to be good after this. There's going to be a lot of political ramifications which are not going to be controlled by anyone. The left in America is out of control. And they are particularly out of control if they're getting people like Charlie Kirk in their sights. This guy was an asset to the left and the right in America because he was bringing people together to talk. This is the wrong guy to have taken out. Just watch this quickly to see how he was asked, how would he debate with a leftist? In other words, someone completely opposed to his worldview. And again, this kind of sensible answer is often what's missing from politics. This guy was there to do that, and now he's no more.
On the topic of the left, what is your single most or best advice that you would give to somebody or a student or anyone who wants to engage in a debate?
Well, ask questions, be civil. They won't be. Do not engage in ad hominem attack, even if they do. Use humor and wit where possible. But also understand that we're going to have the best data, facts, logic, so on and so forth, and they will immediately try to attack your intentions. And if they say they have good intentions, then there's no way that they can possibly be a leftist, because the leftist wants to destroy America as we know it. Liberals actually might want to preserve America. They just have a different way to interpret it. Leftists want the complete and fundamental destruction of Western civilization in this country. They think capitalism is a mistake. They think we live in a rigged patriarchy. They think the Judeo-Christian construct is evil. They want to burn down everything that we love and we hold dear. And we can have a civil conversation about it, but we have very little to agree on.
That's the guy who we need to eliminate. Veronica says, all of a sudden, Gareth's a psychic. As in what? I've never heard of Charlie Kirk before yesterday, says Miggs, but thanks for the explanation. Pumlani says, main character syndrome. Everybody thinks their opinions matter. Yeah, listen, you're not going to change that. There's an interesting clip that I saw about how you can tell if someone's unintelligent. I thought this might be interesting for people. By the way, we've got Dr. Hanan coming on in a short while. He helps us to understand so much of the craziness that's going on around us. And I use that word crazy advisedly, because there's genuine crazy that's happening in the world, and then there's the kind of crazy that I love from the comments section. We'll get to that in a short while with Dr. Hanan. But take a look at this, because I often think that intellect and intelligence are different things, right? Maybe it's just the definition I apply because I love categorizing stuff in my head. An intellectual is someone who thinks deeply about things, who puts out publicly valuable, new, novel, thoughtful, nuanced ways of seeing the world. An intellectual, an intelligent person is just someone who is able to think quickly or think at all. This guy has maybe given me a different interpretation, and he's quoted some older and smarter people, Bevan and Camus. Maybe this helps you with the definition, because often we say, oh, that person's just dumb, or and maybe they're not dumb, maybe you're just smarter than they are. Maybe how you calibrate intelligence isn't just down to the way people behave and the things they say. I don't know, but this definition may help you.
Somebody is unintelligent, like lacking in intelligence. And this goes back to a simple quote by Ernest Bevin, who once wrote, "An unintelligent person is always looking for a scapegoat." And what he meant is that a sign that somebody is lacking in intelligence is that they blame their problems on others. An intelligent person, vice versa, is self-critical, introspective, self-reflective, able to work on themselves. In fact, a simple sign that somebody is intelligent is that they are willing to change their mind, that they don't simply try to blame other people for their issues. They don't need real or imagined enemies to feel better about themselves. An intelligent person, as Camus once said, has a mind that is critically engaged with itself, analyzing and looking at the world through a questioning lens. But an unintelligent person simply blames the world and blames others. They are always by definition right because everybody else is always wrong.
Yep. There are a couple of interesting comments from people who woke up very, very early this morning. Dudes are flying American flags outside their homes. I assume that's a bad sign. This is all obviously, you know, there's always a lot going on in America. We must never forget that just a few months ago, I think he's been in office now for 8 months, but, you know, this time last year plus 2 months, Donald Trump was very nearly killed. And I think there are people in America who are just, they've had enough. And they know what it is to be American. They believe in family and in God. And then they're not going to allow an insane group on the left or the right to dictate the terms of engagement anymore. It's just not going to work. So where this leads, I don't know, but I don't somehow think it's going to be a good place. Durban Dope says, I love Charlie Kirk because of his calmness under fire when lefties had idiotic arguments. Just so logical. Yeah. Again, we need people who can explain complex things in a simple way, who can make sense, who can dig into the substance of things. I love that. In South Africa, I read an article just this week that I thought was substantial. A guy called Fulo Felo, who's written about the ANC. It was in the Daily Maverick. And in a rare turn of events, the Daily Maverick wrote, well, they didn't write it, but this author wrote something on their platform, which I thought was deeply insightful about how the ANC is just falling apart inside. Those are the kind of people we need in the world, people who can make sense of stuff for the rest of us. We don't all have time to, you know, delve into the internal politics of a major political party in South Africa. It's too complicated. They're too many distractions. Even if you're interested in the subject and can focus on it for long enough, inside of the ANC, it's all a big mystery because most people don't actually know what they stand for and are complete opportunists, right? So a guy like that really helps make sense of it for you. Those are people who we need to pay attention to. And the noise of the online world can be extraordinarily worthless and distracting, particularly when it comes to people just pouring out their feelings the whole time. An eye for an eye is about to get popular, says Bitcoin. But, well, you see, this is my concern, is that the sort of person that Charlie Kirk was as a moderate is not the kind of person who's going to come after that. Because why would moderate people stay moderate if being moderate gets you shot on a campus in Utah? They will go to extremes. They'll go more to the left or more to the right and probably become a whole lot less logical. And Mobile says, Gareth, I'm disappointed you think Charlie was a good debater or anything close to being good. Charlie Kirk is a white version of Dr. Umar Johnson. I'm not familiar with Dr. Umar Johnson, but he was a good debater. And remember, he was debating with college kids in America. American universities are expensive, and they are considered, by and large, they're obviously terrible ones, but by and large, they're considered among the best universities in the world. They were churning out extraordinarily stupid people. Charlie never had a university degree. He didn't study after school at all. He went straight into work, founded Turning Point USA. And this guy was so much better at arguing than any of his interlocutors. I never saw, and I'm sure that there were occasions where he lost the argument, where he was successfully debated out of something, or someone who had a point of view that he differed with made a few good points. I didn't see any of that evidence in any of the... And by the way, I was not a massive Charlie Kirk follower before this either. I certainly saw some of his stuff, but it's not like I was looking for it. And maybe people can enlighten me if I've missed out on something. Nobile says, he got owned by Oxford Union students, lol. Come on. No. That I saw, and he was not owned. He was absolutely not owned by... In fact, the Oxford Union students have shamed themselves on every occasion I have seen them debate anyone from the American right. They're unmoored from principle in every way. And they rely so absolutely on demolishing the character of the person they're arguing with and of inferring bad intentions from them that the facts almost disappear into the back of their minds while they're doing it. Gareth, your take on Reedy Tlabi. I don't follow Reedy, so I don't see her stuff. I believe she said that something to the extent that Charlie Kirk deserved, he had it coming because he believed in Second Amendment. Let's be clear, a gun didn't get up and shoot Charlie Kirk in the neck. A crazy leftist must have done it. There's no other person, no one in his own conservative movement would have done this, right? We can only assume that we'll wait until they find the killer. But this person obviously lived in a permission structure where words are violence and it is okay to kill your political opponent rather than argue with them. That's not a gun. It's not a Second Amendment thing. So in that respect, I don't think she has any valid point to make. I do think she should be careful because the American Secretary of State is looking for reasons to deport people. And Reedy is there on a visa. And I certainly don't think that you should be hounded out of a country because of your political opinions. But America gets to make the rules for people living in America, just like South Africa does here. And South Africa treats some people extremely well and other people extremely badly. You could argue that we don't give foreign visitors to this country any advantages whatsoever. We treat them as second-class citizens. That's what countries are allowed to do. Not all countries are going to treat every visitor and immigrant like they're a celebrity. Okay, was a brilliant debater and had cold hard facts and a stance and opinion. What made Charlie Kirk good, allowing people to have their say and then marginally agreeing with certain points, but he fought the fact. Kevin says, Yonder. That Umi's a very, what? I'm not sure what that means. Very small-minded view comparing him to a person like Umar, who is divisive and wants to be famous. Umar has more likeness to Malema with better delivery. I heard that Charlie was shot while he was defending the rights of Americans to own guns. No, he was, he did this all the time. He was on campus all the time. Turning Point USA was about growing a young conservative movement. It seems to have been, you could argue that it was the most successful movement for young people in America in the last 20 years. There hasn't been anything like it. He wasn't shot while he was defending the rights of Americans to own guns. That was one of the things he believed in. But he was actually at the time, as I understand it, the news reports are that he was actually debating trans gun violence. You know, there was an incident at a Catholic school in, I think, Pennsylvania about 2 weeks ago where a transgender lunatic who was clearly mentally unwell went into a school and shot a whole lot of school kids. I think we have to be honest about the fact that if a certain demographic is suicidal, prone to violence, unstable, we need to pay special attention to not allowing that demographic to get their hands on deadly weapons. And the trans community, by their own admission, have a high propensity for suicide. That is one of the arguments that trans people use to explain why they need to be called by their pronouns, why they need people to grant them special privileges, is because otherwise they'll kill themselves. You hear often that if they are denied the right to seek transgender surgery, that they will kill themselves, that if they can't have hormones that will alter their bodies and minds at a crucial age where you're becoming a man or a woman, that in some way this will hasten their route to suicide. This is what transgender people are saying. So if that's the case, then that group should not be anywhere near firearms, because they'll hurt themselves and potentially hurt other people. And we see actual evidence of this happening now. Charlie Kirk was talking about that, apparently, at the moment that he was shot. Anton says, we live in Indonesia, and in the recent protest, we as expat foreigners were not allowed to get involved. This is how it should be. If you live in a country other than your own, you shouldn't cause trouble. Yeah, I think that's acceptable. If you're a visitor in someone's home, you behave yourself. You don't make the rules, and you don't go around trashing the place because you think that you have the right to an opinion. It's amazing to me that people will go from a place like Syria or Venezuela to America and then abuse the rights that they didn't have in their own country in America. They'll complain about the government. They'll want free things. They'll talk about oppression. But they fled a country where they didn't have the right to protest those things. You know, if you want to move to a free country from an oppressed country, you be fucking grateful. They don't have to have you. And the same goes in this country. You know, if you're going to come here and you're going to try to destabilize South Africa, you're going to involve yourself in our politics, but you're from America, China, Europe, wherever the hell you're from. That's like going into someone's house and taking a piss right in their kitchen. You don't get to do that. So I don't think anyone should be arrested, but they have the right to say to you, you're not welcome in my house anymore, right? What's that? Oh, Hanan. Geez, you know what? If I needed anybody in my morning, it would be Dr. Hanan. So, Doc, welcome and happy birthday for yesterday.
Thank you very much. Thank you. How are you, Gareth?
I'm lekker, man. It was also Kate Turkington's birthday yesterday. She's a sprightly 91 years old, and you can find her show here on The Real Network among all the other great shows. New episode today, says Producer James. Thank you, Producer James. All right, so Dr. Hanan, we've got lots to talk about this morning. We've been bouncing around this idea of the internet, of AI, of psychology online. I was struck yesterday by, you know, the kind of political division and the sort of activism that happens online, and how it actually gave me pause to block and remove people who I don't want to hear from anymore, who I just think are not necessarily a great influence on the world, that are not making my life better. And then somebody in the comments said, is that the right thing to do? Because surely you're just shutting yourself down from people who you disagree with and you should be engaging these people. But we all have a limit to how much we can take on in a day, how much you always talk about coin theory, Dr. Hanan. So what's the right approach here? Should you be exposing yourself to everything? Can you worry? Do you have the capacity in your life to worry about everything that is in the news, everything that people are talking about? Or are you able to curate your online experience like you do your real life? Choose your friends. Choose the people you want to work with.
Right. So for those who aren't familiar with the coin theory, the idea is that we are all the common denominator for everybody is what we are. We all wake up in the morning with 24 hours. We've got 100 coins to invest into whatever we want during the day. Once those coins are up, your body goes good night and you wake up the next morning with another 100. The problem is when you've run out of coins by 12 o'clock in the afternoon, now you've got no more energy to give to anything. And then you've got to steal your coins from something else. So you've got to steal your coins from your family, from your health, from your sense of purpose. You've got to steal your coins from things that are valuable in order to deal with the fire that's burning or the issue and the challenge that's in front of you. And the difference between successful and unsuccessful people is successful people invest their time and energy into things that create value, whilst unsuccessful people sleep 18 hours in the day and therefore invest their coins into things that create zero return on investment. Ideally, you want to wake up with 100 and go to bed with 101 coins plus, as opposed to wake up with 100 and go to bed with 99 minus, because what ends up happening is then you run out of coins and you've got, again, no more coins to give. That's where depression kicks in, anxiety or all mental health issues, because then you act on emotion. Think about what happens to people when they're hungry. Think about what happens to people when they are depleted, when they haven't slept. They start acting on emotions and hence irrationally as opposed to rationally. Now, where should you be investing your coins? So I'll say it, and I've said it to you before, but I'll mention it again. Value can only be assessed against the context of a goal. Value can only be assessed against the context of a goal, which means invest in line with where your goals lie. So if I want to improve my life, I want to invest into things that make my life better. And you always judge whether you invest in your coins wisely or whether you're creating results in your world, results in when it comes to your relationships, results when it comes to your health. So nobody can tell me that they're unhealthy, yet they're investing their coins wisely. Nobody can tell me that they're financially insecure and tell me that they're investing their coins wisely, because investing your coins wisely is completely aligned to the results. But to go back to your question, where should you be investing your coins? Ask yourself, is that person or that thing that I'm investing into, is it making my world better? Not necessarily agreeing with me, but is it making my world better? I'm prepared to engage with anybody over a civil debate, over a civil conversation that will leave me better. I don't mind anybody or having a conversation with anyone that disagrees with me as long as I leave the conversation better than when I started. So it's not about agreeing or disagreeing with me. It's about making my world better. And if you feel that somebody is engaging in your world that makes you worse, leaves you worse off, then they're not worth the investment and time and limited energy that you have in investing in your day.
Hameen says in the comments, do you mean like fucks given? At around 12 every day, I have to run out of both coins and fucks that I have to give. So maybe it's the same thing, Doc.
same, but different, yes.
Yeah. You also can't be, and I know that there are people who always want to appear to be good and that they're the good person online. I mean, I jokingly had a go at one of our listeners, Donna, last week, because she was trying to make a comment about some story. And I said, yes, you want everybody to think you're a good person. And there seems to be pressure online. For some reason, some people really want to appear like they are morally and ethically good to complete strangers. And they will expend a tremendous amount of energy trying to achieve that totally unimportant goal. But it's important to people. Yeah. They want to be seen to, oh, I'm so sorry about that earthquake in, Kathmandu. I'm so sorry about the riots in Nepal. Oh, I feel so bad about the people who were caught under that volcano that exploded. They seem to think that that is going to grant them coins in return from strangers. But of course, online compassion is as valueless to the person who's postulating it as it is to the receiver who didn't ask for it.
Completely. Gareth, it's like monopoly money. If you win a monopoly, it doesn't translate into real life. And back in the day, obviously, we all want to feel important. So back in the day, you felt important amongst your peers in your classroom, in your workspace. Now, since the kind of the explosion of social media, I can feel important to millions and millions and millions of people, the audience that's in front of me, which is completely endless. So if I say something smart, I can get, I don't know, however many likes and however many thumbs up and however many friends on Facebook. But you got to realize, people, you have to realize that that does not translate into real life. When you win at FIFA on Xbox, it doesn't translate into real life. When you get points on Fortnite, it doesn't translate into real life. And getting likes and thumbs up and 1,000 extra followers or 1,000 extra friends does not translate into the real world. You walk out your door and you're just as much of a stranger as whether you had 1,000 likes or didn't get those 1,000 likes. Start working on things that align with reality. Don't marry the fantasy of what you think it would look like. Rather, marry the reality of what it is. And the reality is the people that are closest to you. Ask yourself, if you are in trouble, if you have a puncture, if you are ill, or if you are going through financial difficulties, or if you're having conflict with somebody, who would you call? Out of the 1,000 friends that you have on Facebook, who would you call that will come to your aid? That's the real commodity. That's the real asset in your life. And if you can answer that and say, well, nobody will call me. I don't have anybody that I can call onto that will come to my aid. That's real. And I hope that you're investing your coins into things and people in your world that you can call on, especially when you're in trouble. When things are good, when everybody's in Disney World, everybody loves you and everybody is acknowledging you. But what happens when things are not so good? What happens when you're in trouble? Who's going to call you then? Ask yourself that honest question. Hopefully you'll give yourself an honest answer.
Somebody sent me a clip yesterday of, I'm not sure what this podcast is. I haven't seen it before. And there's a woman on it who talks about emotional immaturity, which I thought would be interesting. I just want to play it for you and then maybe have your comments. Because this really is something that we've spoken about a couple of times on this show. You always say, Dr. Hanan, and I quote you to everybody who wants to hear it or doesn't, that, you know, you can't make decisions based on your feelings because your feelings are always changing. And I think she makes a similar point in a slightly different direction. Have you got that clip for us?
Them, reality is optional. They decide what reality is based on how they feel. So if I feel that you're disrespecting me, you don't love me, that's a fact for the emotionally immature person. They're not objective at all.
And there's no taking them off that. There's no changing their minds.
No, because they deny, dismiss, or distort any information that they don't want to hear. And if you are the kind of person who is self-reflective, that's almost impossible to get your head around, that someone could do life in that way.
Or not take it on somehow and take on the burden of being the fixer.
Precisely. Them, reality is up.
So I thought that that was a very valid point that she makes. I don't know who she is. I'd love to give her credit. In fact, I'd love to listen to the whole of that podcast because it sounds like it's pretty interesting stuff. But this idea that some people consider reality optional, that they are so... their entire experience of the world is first and foremost dictated by their feelings, and then they construct a reality based on that instead of the other way around, where reality informs you about what the real world looks like.
All right. So we've said it many times, emotions are just pathological lies. And people will say, well, Hanan, I can tell you experiences where my emotions were right. And my comeback is always, well, pathological lies also sometimes tell the truth. The problem with pathological lies is that whether the lie or tell the truth, it sounds exactly the same. And feelings work in the same capacity. Whether I feel anxious for the right or the wrong reasons, it feels the same. Whether I feel sad for the right or the wrong reasons, it feels the same. And what we do with pathological lies, we don't trust them, and we should follow the same advice for our feelings. So the difference between children and adults talking about emotional immaturity is children really trust their feelings. They believe their feelings are facts. So if I'm sad, I've got a reason for it, and it's facts, and it's factual. And if I'm anxious, I've got reasons for it. And you know the saying, if you look, you shall find. If I'm sad and I look for reasons as to why I should be sad, I will dig and I will find. If I'm anxious and I believe that's my reality, I will look for reasons of why I should be anxious, and I will dig and I will find. Adults don't use their emotions as barometers to judge whether they're doing the right or wrong thing. They judge whether they're doing the right or wrong thing based on results. Am I getting the desired results? Am I getting healthier? Am I getting wealthier? Am I in better relationships? That is the judge. That's the God that's going to judge whether I'm doing the right or the wrong thing, not my feelings. Feelings are irrelevant, that you must understand. Feelings are descriptions that you come up with in that particular moment, and that can change with a cup of coffee, that can change with a good night's sleep, that can change with a good phone call, bad phone call. So feelings are so frivolous and flaky and completely unreliable. How can you use your feelings as a guide to tell you what you should do? It's not the feeling that should guide you. It's the framework that's aligned with your goal that should guide you.
Love it. All right, Doc, have an excellent weekend and enjoy your birthday weekend.
Thank you, Gareth.
We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks so much. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who is our resident shrink. We need him more than we think we know. All right, so I see lots of people going on like a bat out of hell in the comment section. Why is Gareth so soft but the doctor isn't, says Christoph. Have you got problems there with the levels?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, hello.
Oh, Ben, Jesus, where did you just jump out of the sofa?
No, I sleep, yeah. I just crawled under from where, there I sleep there at night. That's why there's a stray sock.
Ben has been living in the studio for the last few weeks. Yeah. People don't know it.
Sorry, I'm going full uncle today.
No, but that hair is coming out,
It is coming.
Yeah, definitely coming along.
I did my 3 months. I got the plasma re-injected into my scalp.
I believe so.
It's cool.
Centrifuges and all that shit. You were very proud of your plasma.
Very hugely proud.
You should be proud. I'm wearing a football shirt after your football fashion episode with Mops Maponyane the other day.
Juventus.
Which I loved.
The Juventus kit always gets it right.
Yeah, I think if I were an Italian football supporter, I would probably be more of an Inter Milan supporter. But we'll leave it for now. My brother always liked Fiorentina.
Yeah,
Firenze, because
Batistuta.
Yeah, exactly.
Played there.
Yeah. But there we go. I think it's a great shirt. So I thought in honor of your football show, I'd wear it this morning.
Okay.
Had a good week?
Yeah, trying, Gareth. I had a bit of flu. Hard work.
This
week.
Is weakness, Ben. I don't want to hear about it.
It's this change of season respiratory crap.
Flex, do we have any time for weakness on this show? No.
Have I missed a show? Have I missed a beat? I'm here. Look at me.
Okay, well then stop whang.
Ah, you asked me how I just said it's been trying. But I'm very
Are
good.
You over it yet?
Well, I'm here. I'm happy. It's Friday.
Do you take medication for this?
Yeah, I went to a doctor who then... What is with fucking doctors, right? I mean, they're essential. I get it.
What's the problem?
Like, whenever they write you scripts, it's like they're fucking writing a list to Santa. And then, I'd also want this. And I also... And what about this?
How many meds did this guy or
Far
girl prescribe?
Too many.
Oh, really?
I mean, he
Pills,
said...
Pills, sprays...
Look, he obviously knows what he's doing. He got it right. And the big thing with this time of year, a lot of the time, is respiratory stuff, right? So he gave me this nasal rinse thing. But he gave me sachets for a whole month. It's like, dude, I've had 3 already and I'm pretty good.
Oh, and can save them for the next time.
This is where my mind's at. But then he's put on like a nebulizer something. These pods... Way too many things to boost my immune system.
Hey, they got to get you to spend that medical aid money that the government wants to get their
hands on. I don't
have
that stuff. I'm just going there and paying with...
Oh, you pay with cash money.
Yeah. Okay. And these oaks, they go to town with that script. It's like they're writing a bestseller or fucking
Yeah, but they're
markups.
Used to people like Leanne coming in there, and she wants overkill.
I tell you what, doctors know more. I'm scrutinizing that list. We're going to have a real chat at the end of these consultations. But I don't go. Like, I'm healthy. Like, I seldom go to doctors. I don't need to.
I know.
And I'm very fortunate in that respect.
I've had it in my diary for the last, I kid you not, because it keeps moving. Every week I move it to the next week because it's not a priority. But I keep putting in there, go for a checkup, right? I went for my dental checkup the other day. She did a clean. She's like, no, you're fine. I was like, shit, thank goodness I've done that. Because once you've got it in for like 6 months to a year, you don't have to think about it again. And I keep moving this checkup because there's nothing wrong. So I don't need to see the doctor, but I, you got to keep track of these things, I suppose.
Yeah. But don't you go for all those things where you find out what your discovery age is and like
I did those. Yeah, I always do them around my birthday just so that I can get the points. Honest to God, I don't care, but I do them for the points. They make you do – so they've changed them over the years. Now they make you do a – you have to like touch your toes while you're standing with your legs against the wall, which is really not hard. They make you do it. The only stretch I had a problem with was the one where you – try to get your hands touching.
Most people do because one side is really in
Yeah, the one side is better than the other. But other than that, I mean, it's not difficult. Then you put you on a treadmill for, I think it's 6 minutes on an incline, and you just have to, they test your heart rate.
Yeah, I mean, we should all do this because you've got to think of yourself like a car. You've got to service your car. You've got to check the oil every now and again. Going to gym regularly like you do is one way of doing that.
Yeah, but I do think there are people who keep moving the checkup because they're not worried about anything.
That's
like me. And then there are people who are looking for something to be wrong.
But now we're in our 40s, right? When do they put that fucking thing down our penis?
Thing down your penis?
Isn't that a thing in
your
40s?
The fuck are you talking? No! They have to put a thing down your... I don't know about this.
Urethra. It's like...
No!
It's for your prostate. Surely you got to have some...
No. No one's ever doing that. I don't care what happens.
Gareth, I've had conversations with guys in my 40s.
Cancer. And I'll die of it before someone will put something, what, in your...
Because, you know, obviously I've got older brothers, right? So every time, seldom nowadays, but I mean, if I spend time with them...
I know about the finger up the arsehole with prostate
and then
all
these folks are older and they go, oh, you know, when you get to this age, you have to get this, this, and this. It's not like they're fucking pulling my leg. A lot of them go through these things.
No, Ben.
There's
I have never heard of this thing. This, you have to get a... What is it?
I know guys have
What
had...
do they ever need to put a thing up your...
They call it down there and they're searching for something because once you get to like in your 40s onwards, it's a thing. I don't know. I'm running up to this one.
Vyasin says, Ben, what the fuck? See? It's not just me.
I've had lots of conversations like this.
Bitcoin Butt says, Big Pharma knocking on Ben's door. The doc saw the hair transplant and saw money.
Yeah, fuck those irks.
You guys talk about Kirk, but what about Van Niekerk? Are you talking about Boa Van Niekerk, the lawyer? Yeah, I mean, that was less recent. But again, you know, this is a guy who's an insolvency lawyer, and he was taken out. He was clearly assassinated by somebody. I don't know a lot about the story. Friends of mine are lawyers and knew him, said he was an absolutely upstanding human being. You cannot solve a problem by taking someone out of the equation. It just doesn't, not today, because the internet's forever and there are paper trails. And if you're a crook and you think that just eliminating someone is going to get you off scot-free, that's not how it works.
Well, it's the whole cliche of, you know, sending a message. And that's what these fucktards think they can do, is like they send a message because they're so powerful. But they're not. They're just cowards. They're pieces of shit. And ultimately, they'll be judged.
And sometimes... to the point of that Ukrainian woman on the train who was killed by that monster, to Charlie Kirk, to Boa Van Niekerk, to so many other people who have been assassinated for whatever reason. Some of them were public figures. Some of them were just ordinary citizens just going about their business. But what you often do in those situations, you turn someone into a martyr. And remember, if you don't like somebody, let's say for their political opinions, and they are then killed, very often they become more powerful in death than they were in life. I mean,
often
there are going to be clips of Charlie Kirk going to places they've never gone before since he's now dead. And they'll be there forever because the internet is forever. And people who've never heard of him, didn't know about him, didn't care about him, will now hear about him. You're making a bigger deal of him than you would have liked if you were opposed to him. And you know, good luck if that's how you deal with your problems, is by shooting them or pretending they don't exist. Do you have any feelings on this? I've kind of waxed lyrical for
Gareth, I've got so many, and I know you have. And
no, go on.
I'm just angry. I feel like I'm quite an articulate person a lot of the time. It's just anger. It's just plain anger, which I try to temper with reason and thought, but there isn't any, unfortunately. Some people are just fundamentally fucking evil shits. And I think for many times it just shows how far we've moved away from God and faith and just rational fucking decency. To think that you can now take someone out because of what they say, what they think. It's just like, you know, where are you in the world? And I think what gets me the most is all these fucking leftists, sorry, I mean, I battled to articulate this, who now get on their soapbox and go, oh yeah, but Charlie Kirk said this and Charlie Kirk said that. It's like, fuck, get a life. Actually, you know what, just,
There's something I want to pick up on that you just said now, which I think is useful for us to discuss if before we get to sport and all the other shit. There is actually evil in the world. Like there are actually evil people who want to see the bad guys win. And sometimes you don't know, but you might be on the side of evil. Somebody in my DMs on Instagram just this morning, I actually want to read it because I don't want to put words in their mouth.
Okay, so while you find
as they do to me.
While you find it.
No, it's here. I've got it already. I said the assassination of Charlie Kirk is extremely sad, has political ramifications. Again, not a controversial point of view. Any idiot could have said that. I said what is clear is that free speech is completely incompatible with leftism.
Correct.
Okay, so again, not a controversial point of view, just a political opinion.
Once again, just truth.
So this person who I do not know, we've never messaged each other before, she says, this is the guy who said it's okay for kids to die in school shootings and it can be justified. I think the most Charlie Kirk said on that front, and again, I'm not a Charlie Kirk fanboy, so I don't know all of his stuff. He said something to the effect of, the price you pay for the Second Amendment is that some people will occasionally, innocent people will occasionally be shot. It's like everything in the world, everything's trade-offs. Again, not an unreasonable opinion, not someone who's saying go school shootings, but this person, I'm not going to mention their name because they don't need to be hauled over the coals just for sending me a message, then says, a little ironic he died by gun violence, which he condoned. I don't think anyone who's a supporter of the Second Amendment condones gun violence.
No.
You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is by no means a person on the right. She is as left as they come. She took the opportunity of this tragic situation in America to criticize the right to own and bear firearms. Again, it's not a gun that killed him. It is a person who wielded that gun, who had been granted a permission structure by the left that words are violence and you can respond with actual violence to something you disagree with. That's the evil, to go back to your point, at the core of this. She says to me further, dude, you have real brains. You're intelligent. How can you say this? Again, because I disagree with her, I must be stupid. By the way, I'm not a leftist. I'm center-right, but this guy was a dickhead. So I'm going to say to you on the show, because I'm not going to reply to you, I don't know you. You might be the bad guy. Like you, I'm not saying you're evil, but in this, you might be the bad guy. I don't know what your life is like. I don't know how much order or disorder you have in your life, but it appears to me that Charlie Kirk was a fairly ordered human being. He was married. He had very strong religious beliefs and principles, which you can agree or disagree with, but he seems to have had an ordered life. He seems to have loved his wife. He seems to have had two happy, healthy children with her, 4 and 1, I think, were their ages. Now they'll grow up without a father. He seems to have been principled in his arguments. He seems to have been polite. He seems to have been the kind of person who you could have had a coffee with and unpacked the problems of the universe and disagreed on a lot and agreed on a lot.
He was engaging. It's a quality you don't find with these people.
Engaging with people who he did not agree with. Something that very many people, as evidenced by this comment that I just read you now, are not capable of doing. You must be bad if I'm good. And I think I'm good. Therefore, if you disagree with me, you must be bad.
This whole gun argument is so immature. It's like we have needed guns from the beginning to defend ourselves. The shitheads have gone out and changed that. You can't have your rights without being able to defend them. You throw away your guns. What would happen in the Zuma riots if people just threw away their guns?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. KZN would be even more of a toilet. But the thing about evil as well is that it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into these traps. If you look around your life now, whether it be hoes on Instagram, fucking weird TV shows, popping agendas, it's easy to sit there and lap it up. It's hard to actually go, you know what? All of these people over here, this is against my fundamentals, so I'm going to stand firm on my fundamentals. But so it's so easy to be evil because you go, oh, well, I might as well be with the mob. And that's what evil has preyed on forever and ever throughout society.
Well, I mean, you can see it often just by asking questions, which, again, is something that Charlie Kirk did really well. So if you take someone who, let's say, they live in South Africa, and they've bought into the idea that there are oppressed and victims, and that the victim, the oppressed person, must always be the good one, morally, yeah, and that whoever is oppressing them must be evil. They've bought into that. So you can often figure out how deep that goes, and it's usually very superficial. Just by asking them a few questions, you know. You could ask about Palestine and Israel, for example. How do you justify what happened on October the 7th, 2023, if you believe Israel are always the bad guy?
Yeah, funny that.
How do you figure that? How do you support tyrants? Countries that do not believe in free speech, countries that do not believe in women's rights, LGBTQ rights, whatever it is that you support, how do you jump that cognitive dissonance between supporting that stuff and complaining about Zionist colonialism on the same hand? You realize quickly after asking them a few questions, they don't have an underlying philosophy. They haven't thought about it at all. They want, as we discussed with Dr. Hanan, they want people to think they're the good guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to realize, like, your opinion, I've changed my point of view on so many things. To go to Charlie Kirk for a second, Ben, and I know we're jumping around here, but, you know, I used to be very much a pro-choice person when it comes to abortion, for example. I've fortunately in my life never had to deal with the real world ugliness of having to make those kinds of decisions or having to be party to those kinds of decisions, whether by sheer luck or by design. Okay, so sometimes I've been responsible and careful. Sometimes I've just been lucky. I think there are a lot of guys and girls who would say the same.
Sure.
But I never really had strong feelings about abortion and the rights of an unborn child, for example. And I will say that while I am still largely a pro-choice person and that people have got to make that decision morally for themselves, I would find it very difficult to build a moral argument for abortion for me.
Mm.
Certainly not saying that this is true for anyone else. And it's not something I ever felt particularly strongly about. I think now, if you made me argue on behalf of the pro-choice people, I'd have a very tough time.
Tougher time, yeah.
And that's because of listening to people argue about this, much smarter people than I, often, online. So that's an example of where you change your opinion. So before I would have thought I was the good guy, now when I look at that issue, I think I might have been the bad guy for a while.
Mm.
And that may change in other arguments along the way.
Yeah, there's so many thoughts in my head around this whole thing. I mean, obviously, if I look at my 20s, my 30s, where I am now, I mean, I was a piece of shit, right off, stupid about a lot of things. And now I'm in a good place. I've only come to a good place because I've spoken to various people and I've acted on certain things and I've changed my views on certain things. I've given time to certain issues. That's made me smarter. Here we had a guy who went to campuses, which is basically, I mean, modern academia is like a cancer to the brain for a lot of people, mm-hmm. impressionable
brainwashing.
Youth. And here you've got a guy who just wants to be able to say, look, there's got to be a balance with these things. And that guy gets shot. That guy gets killed. And I look at this and I go, here's a guy who's going out there to engage with people and he gets shot. And a part of me is thinking, and again, maybe it's just my DNA rooted in many, many years ago. It's like, I'm tired of talking. I actually want to fight. Like, I want to go fuck things up. And I know this is just a parting thing. It's a feeling. It's
interesting, by the way. I know there were a lot of comparisons made with Elena, the woman on the train who was stabbed by that guy. There are people who are comparing the Charlie Kirk assassination to the George Floyd killing. It's interesting to note that Charlie Kirk was held in very high esteem by many people, many millions of people on the right. There has not been, I don't know if you can prove me wrong, please, if you have any info, bring it. I don't think there's been a riot. I don't think anyone's broken into a store, stolen a TV, burnt a fucking building down.
But this is, yeah.
I don't know that anything like that has happened. I've seen prayer vigils. Yeah. I've seen people gathering in places to honor Charlie's memory or whatever. I don't see people behaving like wild animals because one of their people have been killed. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So what, one side reacts a certain way when someone dies, the other side behaves completely differently. And yeah, one is clearly better than the other.
Okay, but
they're not the same.
Which is the side that continues to get ridiculed, continues to get put down, continues to have hate speech leveled them at all stages?
Hitler, you're Nazi.
It's the rational side, right? The ones that don't fuck things up.
Yeah.
That side is constantly belittled. It's constantly okay to put them down, marginalize them.
So you're saying you've had enough?
I'm saying, isn't it just a bit fucking weird how the people who act up in life, and again, this isn't a race thing, this isn't a class thing, there seems to be a variety of people under various umbrellas, call them what you want, leftists, whatever. How is it that they get the most respect because they act like the most petulant out of all of them? They keep fucking things up.
Because the
slightest thing that goes against them, they'll burn something.
The child that screams gets their parents' attention. And we've infantilized adults to the point where the bigger noise they make, the more upset they are, the more feelings, to go back to Dr. Hanan, they display, like an out-of-control psych patient, the more important they are. This is what we get rewarded. It's perverse incentives, thanks to the internet.
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, look, I don't want to go out and steal a TV and burn something because I cherish other people's property. I respect that. But there's got to be a turning point with this. Like, enough's enough. Like, it's just unfortunately, the world is cast in two sides. It's very, very clear. And in incidents like this, and again, like I said, I'm just angry right now, so I'm probably not making the most sense, but it's very clear there's two sides. And I'm just so tired of the one side being placid, taking on the cheek. Fuck that.
Being adult.
I'm so fucking tired of these people and their tirades and just how they offer no value in this world. They offer nothing. All they want to do is break shit down. They envy anything of beauty. They just fucking hate anything that they don't have because they are so useless and pathetic.
I found a guy online who is pretty much one of the best at insulting people. You got that insult guy video? Because here's a woman who's she's upset with, I don't know, MAGA people or something. And I mean, you got to see her to understand the insults that come afterwards. But maybe this will make you feel a little bit better, Ben. Let him say what so many of us are thinking. So here we go.
Can somebody please show me a picture of somebody from MAGA that doesn't look like they came from the Hills Have Eyes?
I can smell the cat piss, the Winston 100s, and the expired Slim Jims wafting off your video. You look like the type of girl who applied to a strip club, but they only let you dance during the day shift on a Tuesday. I bet all of your kids have you blocked, and you blame it on astrology. Ladies and gentlemen, the final boss of the trailer park fight. If you were to tell me that you make dream catchers using old beer tabs and you sell them at the flea market from a table called the Gypsy Den, I wouldn't blink. We all knew that kid from the late 80s, early 90s who had the Power Ranger blanket or the Lion King blanket that always smelt like piss. You are the human embodiment of that blanket. If the people from Hills Have Eyes and the people from Wrong Turn got each other pregnant and then they drank during the entire pregnancy, we'd get you. You look like you drive a 1998 Ford Explorer with empty Suboxone wrappers on the floor, and it smells like Dollar General cucumber melon. You got a body built like a beanbag chair and a face made for radio.
As mean as that guy is being there, I tell you what, he's a nice oak.
Yeah, I think he's a nice oak.
I tell you, that oak would pull you out of a car wreck and a fire.
So far, I think I'm building up a list of my favorite people on the internet. Because, you know, if you, the internet's like everything else. If you, again, to go back to something we discussed with Dr. Hanan this morning, if you can curate a list of people who make you smile and laugh and think, and you only follow those people, the internet can be wonderful. And I thought of that woman who was so angry, that that Australian Aboriginal fucking government. I mean, I love her. So now
she's got principles.
Now she comes up every day in my feed, and she's fuming, and there she is. Give her a go.
She's great. Let's get her on the show.
Fucking government. The English don't protest about England here. The Asians don't protest about China or Japan here. Do they? But the Palestinians, they come here, they're bringing their shit here, and they're protesting about their fucking country. Here, we got our own problems. Fucking idiots.
I love her.
I love how out of sync the sound to the visual
is. Yeah,
it's
so great.
Just getting back to that insult guy there.
Yes.
Can we just point out the fact that that bog troll was the one bringing that up?
Yeah, he was you might have come in halfway. So he's talking about a woman who, the girl on the left is just, she's reacting. She's the one who posted the video. She's obviously, she finds him as entertaining as we do. But in the beginning, there's a bog troll that, that Ben's
who comes
talking
in
about.
And generalizes, because people are different to her thoughts, they must be terrible.
Yeah.
So he's having...
All right, sorry about that. Apparently, James spilt an energy drink down the back of the computer. You know, he drinks those things.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a holster.
Like 1 million grams of taurine or whatever they put in there.
I'm surprised James doesn't have a holster on his belt where he's got 200 mils of pure caffeine waiting for him.
How many do you do in a day, James? Say that again. How many of those drinks do you have in a day? So you guys did something fun. We were about to go to sport before we had this rude interruption. Fucking government! So you guys had a long shoot on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday. For the SA20.
SA20 auction. And Gareth, I was going to say, I'm so damn proud of the team here and what they
did.
Good.
Give them some kudos.
You know how difficult these... When you watch things on TV or whatever, these production things, they're hard, hey? It's so hard. Like James and Flex and the rest, everyone, Amos, Marv, jeepers, we've got quite a long list here. Tion, Norm's, Senna, the whole team, we're all there. And from early, hey? And I had to set the things up, build the things. And the result is, this week on The Bounce Show, we had this outside broadcast from the SA20. And the cool thing is that now we're out. Normally, when you have a show, you get one guest. So we had Skulk Bezade notes. We had Anela Ndoda. She was great. She was funny. Jacques Cullis joined us, Graham Smith. And we got to chat with all these oaks in this really amazing
event. You said it
was
your favorite show so far.
That was Sandile, yeah. He loved it. He got to meet all his
Sandile
heroes.
Said it, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to say, the SA20 event was just... There are some times in life you go to an event and go, they've just got this right. I know they had lots of money, but they built stuff. And like Marv, being the production guy that he is, he spent so many different moments telling me about this and this and this. It's like they had to build this and that cost this. But the show was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the auction is so fun. So there's certain big names that come in and everyone's like, there's all this excitement around it. The auctioneer reads a name and everyone goes, ooh. And then bang. Devil Brevis went for 16.5 million rand. 16.5 million rand.
That's incredible.
It's going to him to go and play a month of cricket in this country.
Phenomenal.
So, yes, we're a third world and our economy's shit and everyone's downtrodden, blah, blah, blah. Say what you want, that's negative. We have a cricket league that Graham Smith and his team have put together now, which brings all this money to this country. It develops all this local talent. And the very cool thing is we got to be at the heart of this week.
Good.
So really tell these stories. Like, there's so much happiness in sport. You know, we started the show... And so far to this point, like, I've been angry about stuff. But you look at what sport really does. It just always ties back to these things. And that's why it makes me feel happy.
And as if to add to your happiness, rather than take away from it. You're also off to Thailand to play golf.
Yeah, I need this. I need this trip.
So you're flying today?
Flying this evening. Going to go to the Switzerland of Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah, guys, it's going to be a long story. Look, it's a bit rainy at the moment, so hopefully get some dry patches.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, going with the Thailand Tourism Board, we're going to go see why it's a cool golfing destination. So
it's got to be very lush, right?
It's going to be super lush, but there's more hills and it's like nice trees. We're about 3 hours inland from Bangkok.
Okay.
So we're going to play two rounds of golf at these two very nice places. But yeah, busy few weeks because then we're going to the Ryder Cup in New York.
Jesus, that's fantastic. That's like on your bucket list.
Yeah, completely. Because I've been to a European one, but I'm going to go to the one at Bethpage Black.
Fantastic.
My mate Justin and I are going to go have a good day there and then come straight back and then Singapore Grand Prix.
Wow.
So seeing the sports.
You're crossing the world.
Seeing the sports.
And you're going east, then you're going west, then you're going east again.
Yeah, but always come back where it matters first.
So this means that there'll probably be a few shows where Ben won't be here, but don't begrudge him. I mean, this sounds like and Singapore Grand Prix, I mean, I don't really care about Grand Prix, but it's just such an event.
It's the night race, you know, and it's such a massive production here. Like Elton John's performing, the Foo Fighters will be performing. So it's a really big thing, and this is where I want to take our sports show a little bit more, you know, to try and do things on a bigger scale. So we'll have a slight production break, a little bit of a new structure coming in now. But let's get into what's happening this weekend, Gareth.
All right, let's tell you do what, that. This what do we got?
Another great weekend of sports. The Premier League is back, MTN8 Cup Final. There's cricket in the go, obviously there's rugby. It's just really damn good. There's even a bit of golf. So let's start with the rugby. Obviously, we lost the All Blacks last week, and it was a bit of a downer.
Mm-hmm.
We were just shite in the beginning. We were 14-0 down. And Oaks finished well, but just couldn't get back to that lead. So Eden Park, 51 test matches in a row that the All Blacks have just not lost. This week, though, they played at the Caketon. It's a stadium in Wellington that looks like a Caketon. Their record there is not so stellar. It really isn't, actually. I mean, the last two times they played against a pretty woeful Australian team and a shitty French one. But prior to that, they went, I think, four or five matches without a test win. So the Bok team, this is where, shock horror, the Bok team is very different this week.
Mm.
Rusty Erasmus has basically picked an entirely different backline. Untested combinations. Flex, can you just bring that team sheet up there?
Where's the team sheet?
Because it is... I wouldn't say there's a few tweaks. There's seven changes, but it is fundamentally different. So they went with the old guard in Eden Park, Andre Pollard, existing centre pairing of Damien De'Alendi and Jesse Creel, Valile Roux on 15, and it was the established kind of, we know what we've got with them kind of thing. This week, Rassi, just swinging dick on a Monday, announced an entirely different team. We've got Sacha Fanbeg and Gomazulu, who's starting. I like him as 10. I want him to be the future, and I think we've got to give him the chance. This Oak is just a mercurial talent. You can use really fancy words to describe him. Lekker Oak. I just pray there's going to be less rain than usual, because this guy's talents need to be shown. And then Damien Willems is number 12, and then that is a massive shock, because then Kenan Moody's 13. So those Oaks don't play centre with each other. Centres are a... The thing about centres being a unit is that they need to work in defence as much as they do in attack.
Mm.
And there are so many nuances, especially at the highest level of the game, around how that can be tested. But then we've got Ethan Hooker on the left wing, who is a phenomenal talent. He's a big, strong, fearless young Oak from the Sharks. Apolele Fassi's back at 15 and Chesney Colby at 14. But then Jasper Visa, he's come back from headbutting that Italian Oak, which was a phenomenal fuck-up, because we don't have an eighth man in the squad. And every time Jean-Luc Dupre gets thrown into the squad, he gets injured or he's got some sort of voodoo against him. Three times has happened now. So this Oak's coming straight back into it, and we need it, because a number eight needs to just get the ball and run very fucking hard into the opposition. And we haven't had that. Sio Khaleesi's a phenomenal rugby player, but he's not a traditional eight that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when it goes to the tackle situation, you need a guy to come in there like a tow truck. Like one of those Oaks for those Breakers from the Boksburg, rolling there with this fucking can of energy drink and just fuck shit up. That's what number eight needs to do with the breakdown.
Very impressed. So we're still waiting for Flex and James to put that team sheet
obviously
up there.
Typing it.
But you just pulled all of that out of memory.
Saru. Yeah, and then
there it is. Oh, so you had your ears up your ass, producers. So okay.
Yeah, so forward pack, there's less place to tinker with the forward pack. It really is. But Eben's going to be out because Eben can't play every match.
Yeah.
The Oak has just given heart and soul. Eben's the oldest, like 30-something in the world. Like so much mileage in his clock. But put that Bok jersey on that Oak And boy, do you see someone who's committed and willing to fight for everybody. So it's a bloody good team. The bench is pretty strong. I think we've got some really exciting guys coming off the bench, especially in the back line. So, yeah, you know, people, I made a video after the game last week. Jeepers, people got, they're still fucking sharing it and commenting. I know nothing about rugby. Fuck all you Ergs. I tell you what, the Box are special. I love them. They're not as good as where we need them to be right now. They're just not.
Yeah.
They're not as good. And like we want them to be the best, or we think they're the best. They're not. They're like, for various reasons, they're not. But they still are a team. I absolutely love them. And I genuinely feel that this team will have what it takes to win on Saturday.
Bitcoin But says, question for Ben, is the mid-air maul still effective now?
I don't think we should throw it away just yet. I think it needs to be used smart. In smart places, and credit to the All Blacks. Like, the All Blacks just play a kind of rugby where they get shit right against us, and there's no other way to describe that. The All Blacks are always known for their flair and all that kind of stuff. I think one of the things to applaud the All Blacks, the
last bit of Qatar going on in your
I think
lungs.
One thing that people don't applaud the All Blacks enough about is that how many times they've managed to beat the Box by just doing the simple things right and basically outlasting us. That was them last week. They kicked way more than us. They passed the ball way less. They did less of the play, and that's how you win modern test matches like that. So well done to them. They were better, okay. Even though they haven't got their best team either. Even this week, you know, Cody Taylor went off last week with a concussion. He's their best hooker, phenomenal player. He missed a great chunk of that game last week, and he's going to miss this game. Oaks, step up. And I think that's the thing with our guys. The message here is our guys have to step up. But it's a massive day of rugby from start to finish, right? Because before that, Australia-Argentina again, that game was an absolute cracker last week in Townsville, actual place.
That's an actual, you know, ville in French means town. So it's town.
Town. Yeah.
How stupid.
It's an outskirt place. I think in Queensland, it's fucking useless.
Townsville.
It's full of bogans. But, you know, it was a great moment for Australian rugby because basically, and I'm not a great lip reader, but the captain of the Aussies, right?
Do you think that woman that shouts and screams, she lives in Townsville, right?
Fucking Wallabies, go with a fucking try. So the game was tied. I mean, they were 3 points down. They needed to just get a penalty to tie the game. The captain basically turned to his entire team and he said, listen here, you cunts. We're going to go for a fucking try. We're going to fucking win.
Really?
And I thought that was a proud moment for Australia.
Yes,
it really was.
True Australian, as we say.
Was so, but you could see him, that the fire in his eye when they got that penalty. It's like the only thing happening right now is we're scoring 7 points to win this game. And his Aussie roots came out and he just, and they all locked onto it. It was beautiful. It was just so beautiful. So, yeah, after the Rugby Championship matches, we get the Women's World Cup. So our ladies are taking on New Zealand. And to be fair, people will take this the wrong way, but they have no chance of winning this match. New Zealand have been great for a very long time. Our ladies are training in the right direction. They're getting some resources finally. But it's going to be a golfing class, as we saw even last week when our ladies took on the French team. There's just certain levels of this game right now. But they're going to give their damnedest, hey? And to be able to play on the same day that the Box play the All Blacks in New Zealand, it's a really cool thing for them. You know, people are very encouraging. And
ah, please, don't be so patronizing.
But they are. It's just that
they... I know you're giving... You're interested in this.
I'm not going to watch the game. I can't watch any of these games because I'm going to be on a plane, unfortunately. And even if I was, I wouldn't watch this game because I have enough sport on my dance card, so to speak.
Right.
But the cool thing for these ladies is that they get this feeling how the country will love you if you win, because they're wanting you to win, right?
Okay.
So take that, distill that, and realize that if you're going to commit to this game called rugby, you use that every single day of your life to get to a position where one day you can win. It's not this Saturday, but if it ever happens, it will be the greatest moment of these people's lives and the people who know them. And again, going back to this is what sport really is. But then we've got Curry Cup, okay? So again...
More rugby.
Yeah. So we've got 2 o'clock game, and then 5 o'clock, Lions versus Borland, Griquas versus the Cheetahs at quarter past seven. Like, what a day of rugby, huh? And then, yeah, so football, obviously MTNH final, Orlando Pirates versus Stellenbosch, that'll be Saturday at 6. And then Sunday, there's only one PSL game. Sundowns will take on Magesi, Flex's actual team.
Magesi, that's what they call.
Sundowns. Sundowns is Flex's actual team.
Oh, really? I thought we had all decided he's not only an Orbitz.
No, Flex is eligible to play for Orbitz, but his real team he supports is Sundowns. So that'll be Sunday. Okay. But yeah, big thing is that obviously the Premier League is back.
Eligible to play. Are they struggling to recruit players?
Put it this way. If we get here one day and it's just James playing with the tits over there,
yeah,
Flex is on a team bus driving to Polokwane to go and play against someone. All right, so this weekend.
If there's anyone growing up in South Africa today who really wants to be a footballer, that's your opening, man. They need players, right? If that's your dream.
Guys, follow your dreams. Chase your dreams.
Chase your dreams.
Chase your dreams. Flex, I'll make the promos next couple of weeks. You chase your dream. Down the touchline of an Orbit FC game. All right, so yeah, British Premier League. So, you know, there was the international break with the World Cup qualifiers.
Yes.
Bafana, of course, during that window, they beat Lesotho. They drew with Nigeria. It doesn't look like they're going to get docked those 3 points. We're looking
good
for the World Cup.
So we're going to go to the World Cup.
It's looking good.
I mean, I saw Shabalala, the guy who scored our goal in the World Cup in 2010. He sometimes goes to the same gym. I mean, I go to different gyms, but he was there, and I saw him in the change rooms, gave him a high five. I mean, that guy's still a hero.
And you shouldn't say he should
be. And because we were in the World Cup, you recognize him how many years later? It's 15 years on. And I still think,
big stuff, yeah.
You know, the World Cup does something special for sport.
Even though this one has got too many teams, this whole thing about growing the game, there's various ways to do it. I don't think watering down the major thing. Look, I think Africa deserves more teams in the tournament. When you consider... yeah, see, it gets difficult because if you consider the top countries and where they are and how good they are, the European countries get a lot of players.
Mm.
Makes a lot of sense. But don't just then say, cool, let's have 48 teams. Well, what next? 62?
Have they added more brackets in?
Yeah, it's very big and bloated. And I think nowadays you'll see like a lot more of these amalgamation bids between various countries hosting the FIFA World Cup. It's weird because it went from a town to now being across Mexico, Canada, and America.
Couple of comments for you, Ben, in the comments section. Chris Smith says, isn't it called Townsville Berg? So just checking. Hugh G. Rection says, the Aussie captain has some big balls. Always talking about genitalia, is Hugh. Veronica says, Ben, stop flexing your biceps.
I am?
Well, apparently you're doing that all the time.
What?
And the Aussie captain was just following the coach's instructions, says Greg. Lots of people who agree with you. For Ben, seeing that he's always commenting and having a dig about James and his relationship, what happened with Ben? Separated, then back together? Did she see through all his bullshit?
Who is this person?
This is Mike. Very interested in your personal life.
Mike, firstly, get fucked. I've said nothing this entire episode about James and getting engaged, which I'm all behind.
By the way, I mean, James, we still don't know. He's not revealed the truth.
Look, either way, James, I'll be at your bachelor party. I hate bachelor parties, but I'll be there. I'll be the oak that's making sure everyone's getting hammered. I'll chat to the in-laws for you, James. I'm pretty good with the old buggers. Look, I'm here for you.
What's Mike, that, James? The whole squad. Okay, you're inviting everybody.
Flex, you're going to come?
No. No, me neither, so. Flex.
Didn't think so.
James.
See, James.
James will have to deal with Ben.
See, James, last man standing. Let's not discredit it. Mike.
Oh, Veronica says, I did not tell Ben to stop flexing. I would never. So she likes it.
I'm not flexing there, Veronica. Sorry. This couch is awkward. And if you guys notice, but I'm sitting so low and I move a lot, but I'm not flexing. Mike, I shouldn't have any words for you. I'm sorry. That's a long time ago now. I only have positive sentiments for the person that you were alluding to, oddly.
I think Mike feels like he wanted to have a relationship with someone he's never met. That's probably what's going on here. Bitcoin Boot says, James's bachelor, is it going to be at the Grand?
Bitcoin Boot, if you can cash in some Bitcoin, you will be at the Grand.
Yeah, you can host it, actually.
But on our current sentiments right now,
no.
It's probably car park next to where he parks his car every day.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, we'll probably have it in the car park down here.
James,
will you have a ciggy with Flex in the morning?
James, it's a working plan. I'm not saying I'm married to it yet. we can workshop it a bit.
All right, but back to the sport.
Yeah, guys, so English Premier League is back, okay? So as you can see, I'm in my lovely Arsenal third jersey here.
Yeah.
They're going to be taking on Nottingham Forest. Extra bit of spice here is that the old Spurs coach that was given the arse, the Aussie guy.
Yes.
Ange. He's now come in because the Nottingham Forest Oak fell out with that fucking owner. So Nottingham Forest, James, remind me which game it was. The Nottingham Forest owner, okay, is this big burly Lebanese guy, I think. He stormed onto the pitch and berated the coach in front of everybody, holding an iPhone 7 like a drug dealer. And But like shouting at this poor oak. It was so embarrassing. So since then, relationships have soured to the point now where this oak just suddenly, the coach, the manager of Nottingham Forest got the flick.
Oh.
Like recently.
Wow.
So Ange, the ex-Spurs guy, is now going to go to the Emirates to go play against the traditional rival Arsenal. And that's how we're going to kick off this weekend's
preview. Sometimes the off-field stuff is way more entertaining than the on-field stuff.
As I've told you many times, I've never been a football fan. I like that I know more about football now. Mm. The amount of conversations that opens, the amount of conversations I'm now part of that I enjoy, it's really cool. Just another selection of games from the weekend. Brentford will host Chelsea at 9 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday we'll see Burnley versus Liverpool at 3. And then the big one for a lot of people, it's always the banter derby in my mind. It's Man City versus Man United. If Man City lose this game, it's going to be so embarrassing because Pep's he's not in a good place right now.
Oh, shame.
But Man United are Man United. Flex a Man United fan. I'm sure he feels very good about this. But Sunday at 5:30. So if you haven't had your fill with all the rugby for the weekend, that game, even as a neutral, is going to be huge entertaining. And then the Proteas are out again taking names. They're in a three-match T20 series against England. They won the first one. The second one's going to be tonight at 7:30. And then the third one will be on Sunday at 3:30. And if that is not enough, the BMW Championship at Wentworth is one of the coolest golf events on the DP World Tour throughout the year. All the big names are there. Even the big guys from Liv are playing there, like John Rahm.
Wow.
Because, you know, Ryder Cup's happening. So this is like Team Europe getting together for this big championship marquee event. And they're going to have some beers. They're going to talk some shit. And they're going to get ready for the big charge to Bethpage Black.
And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Guys, again.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. So much, so much
sports. This is bucket list stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be. All right. Live your life.
Amazing. Okay, so lots of sport. In fact, lots of people in the comments saying if you want to feel better, you can listen to the sport for a bit. That's always part of what it does for you. Bitcoin, but going back to James's bachelor's party, we will get a machosha for James's dirty car. Good combo? Good combo?
I mean, look, in the spirit of a traditional bachelor party, because James is still so young, I say yes on machosha. I think for my bachelor party... whenever, no on the machosha, I'm a much more mature of age.
Okay, but machosha for James.
Yeah, I mean, look, and also that might sweeten the deal for Flex if I need to decide to come.
Flex, would you come if there was a machosha?
He's back in.
He might. Okay, that's a good point. All right, I got something funny for you. This is hilarious to me because there are people in the world who take Greta Thunberg very seriously.
Retards.
So I don't know if you saw that there was a big news story about how the evil Israelis had rocketed her flotilla. You know, they're basically on a shitty boat full of holes that they just it's called a flotilla because it just kind of floats and then hopes to go somewhere near land. And Greta with her new He-Man hairstyles on board looking angry and saying, how dare you to all the staff on the ship who are just trying to keep this thing from sinking. So apparently the Israelis did not fire anything at the ship. This is so embarrassing. So Greta's flotilla boat, apparently someone, one of the other protesters, was trying to fire up a flare. You know a flare that you use in distress when at sea so that you could show yourself at night to other ships. This guy, he shot the flare into the boat and that's what scuppered their flotilla and protest. So someone, one of Greta's fellow protesters fucked it for them, which I think is pretty hilarious. And, of course, the other bad news for Greta, I don't know if you saw, but Israel, major strike on Qatar. Obviously, the U.S. kind of winked and nodded at it. Their official statement is that, you know, we condemn Israel striking at a sovereign nation like Qatar. But there's no way that the U.S., who have a military base in Qatar, didn't know that the Israelis were coming. And in that strike, it seems, unless, of course, the Qataris warned Hamas. It seems that they've wiped out the entire Hamas leadership.
Good.
There is literally no one left. And the bad news for Greta is this kind of makes her the next in line to be Hamas's leader.
Sure.
So, you know, if she thought the flotilla was bad, life's about to become a whole lot worse for her. Anyway, good luck, Greta. You know, how flare you? You know, how?
No words.
It's just, it's so bad.
No words.
All right, back to machoshas, because people can't get enough of this. One machosha for how many men doesn't sound plausible.
No, but guys, it's not.
You should get a few of them if it's a party. Imagine everyone sticking in the same one. This is not Bonnie. We're not inviting Bonnie Blue.
Jeepers. Who's this?
This is Mike Veronica again. You kept talking about your biceps.
Veronica, we're not looking to serve. Like,
it's not a. It's an orgy.
It's an atmosphere machosha. Yeah, yeah. It's not
a machosha who just dances a bit.
It's
that's
an
all
atmosphere
we want.
Machosha. It's not a. Not looking at a go down the mines with everybody. I mean, it's just, we're talking about vibes here.
Yes, I don't want Veronica to organize our parties. We might end up in jail. Leah says, a country which the letter starts in I and ends in L is responsible for this, Leah. What, responsible for the flare going off on Greta's ship? Hell no. Responsible for taking out Hamas's leadership? Yes. I'm not sure what else you're inferring. Bitcoin Boot says, go and look up Bonnie Blue, Veronica. People have, there's lots of different opinions. All right, so I don't know if you've seen Kelly Osbourne.
No.
Okay.
Well, not
you probably haven't thought of. Okay,
not in a very long time.
I haven't thought of Kelly Osbourne since the Osbournes TV show where Ozzy was, you know, milling around going, Kelly, Sharon, that kind of thing. And God bless Ozzy, rest his soul. But Kelly was monstrous. She was fat. She was ugly. She had terrible makeup. She wore bad clothes. Let me tell you, the 2025 Kelly Osbourne doesn't look even slightly like the Kelly Osbourne that I remember. I don't know whether she just bought a brand new head and had it stitched on. I mean, whatever's going on in Hollywood, people always talk about you know, the adrenochrome, and you could sell your soul, and the conspiracy theories about. They're taking the placentas off of infants and feeding them directly to celebrities. Whatever's going on there, this is not possible in the realms of modern medicine and science. Take a look, Ben. Tell me what you think of this.
No way.
Wild. That is insane. She's 40 years old on the right. She's 18 on the left.
When you said she was fat and ugly, you were actually being nice.
I was. I mean, look at the hair is a mess. The eye makeup is revolting.
Also, in fairness, there's a lot of shit on the left. You can just clean up with
Sure, but even if you wipe it with a scouring pad, to get to the right. I mean, Kelly Osbourne is, at 40 years old, she is 200 times hotter than she was at 18. Phenomenal.
So you can tell by the eyes it's the same person.
You can?
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a person about the eyes.
Wow, okay, well.
And also, I have very good eyes, so I can pick that up.
Okay.
But no. What's the moral of the story here, Gareth? Don't be fat and ugly. And you're not ugly, you're poor. That's also the big take.
Yeah, so get thin and get rich.
Get thin. Get rich. You can look as good as this. There's no excuses anymore.
Tell me. I mean, we've seen, you know, Kris Jenner, who, again, also went for... So she looks like her own daughter right now. Clearly, there's someone, some surgeon in Hollywood who's just figured out... Because you say it's money. Yes, it is. Probably the surgeon in question costs a lot of money. Yes, it's taking care of yourself, not eating everything that you see, doing a bit of exercise. But this is absolutely transformational in a way that even Cyril, with all his nonstop talk about transformation, would not be able to deal with.
No, not even close.
Phenomenal.
I'm trying to find you another image.
This is the kind of transformation that I'm a massive fan of, by the way. Look at that. Wow.
James, I want to send you another picture. I'm not sure if I brought this up on the show before. I might have.
Who?
Sorry.
Who are we talking about?
Like a golf influencer. So going back to my world.
Golf influencer.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing about like, no one loves me because I'm like, look like this. It's okay. Well, Kelly Osbourne's another prime example around this. You can look better any age.
You can make the best possible go of it. You might not be born with supermodel good looks, but you can do something about what you've got.
It's modern medicine here. I mean, look, people will always go, oh, but you... sorry. Oh, people say like, oh, you're so fake. It's like, yeah, no, you can't knock people like that. Kelly Osbourne's made an effort here, and she'll live a happier life, right?
Tremendous.
And once people are happier, they're easier to be around.
Well,
they're nicer to be around.
I saw a fascinating study they've conducted the other day about how very ugly people don't know that they're ugly, and very attractive people don't know that they're attractive. So if you find someone who's like a 1 in 100 beautiful, she won't know. She'll think, I'm in the top 20. She doesn't know that hot.
I can't find that.
The people in the middle are the best at judging who's pretty and who's ugly.
Sure.
Because they know where they belong.
They're in the traffic.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
They're in the traffic.
I'm not trying to disagree with you for sake of it, but I can't imagine someone who's hugely beautiful doesn't know it because they're probably on OnlyFans. They're probably on Instagram. This is how we have mechanized beauty and commercialized to the point where if you're beautiful, people treat you differently. They either hate you straight away, leftists, or they want to, like, they celebrate you.
Yeah.
So unless that person has got like a Fritzl situation where they're in a dungeon, God, everyone knows they're beautiful.
Right.
The world. This is Paige Spiranac, right?
Okay, listen, just right off the bat, we've got to clear up here that on the right, you see, you've passed on whatever you've got to me now. Thanks. On the right, it's down to outfit for starters. She's had her hair highlighted and low-lighted and God knows what else. She's got a lot of makeup on the right, but she looks phenomenal.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a terrible picture because it's so
the left one is unsaturated. Is a feature phone from the early 2000s.
Yeah, this one's got lighting.
Taken in a gym.
No doubt about it. But she's had work and she's made millions.
What's her name?
Paige Spiranac.
Hmm.
So she's the most followed person in golf.
Yeah, I mean, you also get people who go the other way. Last week we showed a picture of Simon Cowell,
probably going to be biltong in 20 years too, just like Simon Cowell.
Well, I think, you know, you takes your chances when it comes to these things. I think there are people in Joburg who I used to have my hair cut in Hyde Park, and there was a woman who would come in there. I don't think she's around anymore because she must have been 153. And she looked like Michael Jackson.
So she probably won't make it to James' bachelor party.
I don't think she's the Mahosha we're looking for James' bachelor party. But quite something to look at. I mean, it was scary. She'd walk in and you kind of, you know, you're having your hair cut and you're like, holy shit, did I see something in the mirror?
Sorry, just on that, I think everyone, because I mean, we look at the show as like a big collective. I think everyone should start suggesting what they're going to add to James' bachelor party. Tough time. So, I mean, if it's finger sandwiches, right, cool. If it's a mahosha, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's a rather loose aunt who can sing a bit,
a
also
loose
cool.
aunt. Yeah.
Guys, we're trying to get flex here, okay? See, okay, there we go. So who's got a cow? Who's got a cow?
I'm sure we can find one.
I'll tell you what, before you know it.
Maybe King Mrs. Zulu will donate one.
I'll tell you, before you know it, this car park here is going to be a thing.
Yeah, that could be a hell of a bachelor's party. James, so, it might even if you're not engaged, it might be worth getting engaged just for this party.
James, just share the email address there so people know where to submit.
Yes, share your
submit,
email address, James.
Submit applications.
Okay, just put it on the screen, and then, guys, feel free to send James anything at all. Clips, videos. I know Bitcoin Boots promised. He's been making big promises. Very alive in the comments this morning, but I'm still waiting for you
interviewing
homeless people in car parks or parking guards or whatever you said you were going to do, Bitcoin Boots. I'm waiting. You said you were going to get us Vox Pops, so let's see.
And the thing is, like, if we've got surplus or duplications on things, like too many mahoshas, we'll just pick the best one.
Yeah.
We've got too much brandy, we'll just take the, you know, the oldest one. So have your, submit.
I agree. Since Kelly left The View, says Tracy, she's really changed for the better.
Well, she's got out of a cancerous, toxic situation.
Apparently, according to Judas, Lindsay Lohan is looking amazing at the moment. Listen, I've got to tell you, there are people who have just... They get better with age, and there's some people who absolutely go backwards. I got to show you this guy because we were talking about English food the other day.
Yeah.
And we were saying how there's no such thing as English cuisine. Their contribution to the world of great food is extremely limited.
You don't see an English restaurant when you go to international cities.
I don't think it's a guy. He's got a full English dinner for you. Have a look.
Hi, guys. Today I have a full English dinner. So I've got a side of beans and some eggs, some Cumberland sausages, some tomatoes. I only asked for one. Tomatoes are arbol, bacon, and a little bit of toast. Oh, I lost one. Oh, I've got the sneezes from that tomato. Add the best sauce in the world, salad cream. Hey, take one of my own men. What have you got, guys? Sausage. Give me 2 minutes to eat this and then I'm going to bed.
On the topic of the left.
Okay, there we go. Holy hell, a full English dinner.
All he has done, I assume it's a he, all he has done is he's just got into the breakfast trough for tomorrow and taken from the trough for dinner.
No, but you know, there are working class English people, dinner isn't at night. Dinner's any time you're hungry. So you could have dinner in the morning, you'd have dinner at lunchtime, even though it's lunchtime, and you could have dinner at night as well. Plus, in the morning when you wake up the next day, it's also a full English dinner.
Wow.
The words do not apply the way you think they do.
No, nothing does.
All right. Well, I've just realized we haven't taken a single break, and we have to cut up this podcast somehow. So we're going to do that.
Well, don't we cut it up just where we lost reception?
Oh, you know what? That's a good idea. But they're insisting. The producers, I think maybe James needs a break from all of the talk of his bachelor's party. He's getting excited.
He's in and out the whole fucking time.
Yeah, he says. So since we've changed the show, he's constantly milling around with his arms at tit height, trying to organize guests and. I don't know. I think he's making a lot of it.
I asked him for some hot water a while ago. Do we see it?
No.
No.
I've got just honey and stop lemon. With I'm the excuses, James. Just do your work.
I'm going to do my job. James, it's a chicken and egg situation. Where's the chicken?
Ben, your friend Veronica's back. She says, I love me some Cumberland sausages with lots of white cream.
Veronica's calling all pockets this morning.
Said every mahosha ever. She's all into sausages and mahoshas. And Veronica, I'm worried about you here, huh? No wonder that person is so sick. I would not want any of that in my body, says Donna. Yeah. I mean, that's just terrible. Breakfast. Not breakfast, it's breakfast.
Breakfast.
And their dinner is called tea for some reason. Yes. Also, tea could be had at any time if you're in England. You have breakfast, then you have 11sies, then lunch, then tea, then dinner, then another tea. And then you're off to a pub for a pint.
Yeah, it's just funny how nutrition, it doesn't feature anywhere in any of those stupid fucking words.
But as long as salad cream is all over everything, you're going
to
be
well,
fine.
Well, it's so dry from being in the trough outside. They have to put the salad cream on it.
Okay, well, Marius says, to get back to James's email, and then we will take the break. I sent my car park interview, even got a reply. Thank you for contacting us. By the way, it's Marius that said he was going to interview the car park guy. No, Bitcoin but promised us this too. So thank you, Marius. James replied, you lucky you got a reply out of him.
Wait, so hang on a second. So someone submitted a video.
Yeah, James ignored them, which is
what. Not only have we not seen the video, we've now buried this guy who's made the effort.
Yeah. James, you better find this.
James, here I am trying to drum up support for your bachelor party, and
you don't even reply to emails. There we go. James at The Real Network. That's thereal-network.com.
James, life's a game of give and take, huh?
Put up that email address for another. While we're on the break, keep it up there. Yes, people need to see it, interact with you. I want to force you to respond to emails, James. You don't respond to anybody. This is the way you're going to be punished. Please, everybody, just send him.
Why are you so aloof, James?
All right, let's take a break.
Deflecting.
Let's take a break.